You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Oakland Athletics. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, joined by Jane Lee of MLB.com. Jane, I just want to say, first of all, before we get to the nitty-gritty, you wrote a fantastic story this week on, or maybe it was last week, on Sam Full, who is a big league baseball player. I joke with him in the past that he's at the front of every line. He's a better writer than a lot of us are. He's a great athlete, and he's a guy who's made it to this far in the big leagues with type 1 diabetes. And for people who haven't read it, he's from Stanford University. People haven't read it, you got to go to athletics.com or MLB.com and get this story on Sam Full. It's just fantastic. But what did you take away? Can you just tell people his story and how inspiring it is?
Yeah, he was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when he was 10. And, you know, he was explaining to me, you know, he was already kind of a go-getter as a kid, an inspired kid, and, you know, with a lot of goals and dreams, just like any other kid, always liked sports. And even when he was diagnosed, he didn't think much of it, but then it was a couple years later when he came in contact with, you know, a few professional athletes with type 1 diabetes, and they were explaining to him, you know, this is a challenge. You know, you do have a challenge ahead of you, and he kind of just embraced that. You know, he didn't realize how much of a challenge it would be, but he almost liked it that way because he liked, having that challenge. And that's kind of what he tells kids these days is, you know, look, this isn't easy. You're going to be in, you know, like him, like what he does, he has to, you know, inject himself with insulin every single day in the clubhouse, in the dugout. I mean, you see it. And he has to be very careful with it. And this is what, a ton of kids are trying to do, and maybe they feel inhibited by it, but you know, he really wants to put it out there and let them know, like, this doesn't have to prevent you from doing anything, whether it's, athletically, academically, socially, any department of your life, like, this doesn't have to inhibit you. And so a few years ago, he got to thinking and, you know, he thought there's a ton of sports camps out there. There's a ton of diabetes camps out there, but there's not a sports camp for people with diabetes. And so that's how this diabetes camp kind of came to fruition. And he's been doing it every year. And it was great listening to him because you can really tell just how much joy it brings him. He says it's not an easy camp to put together, and you can imagine, you know, how much goes into it, because it really isn't just any other sports camp. I mean, there's a ton of medical staff, just a lot that goes into it. And he said it's probably the most stressful weeks leading up to it. And even the weekend itself is stressful. But at the end of it, you know, when he's talking to the parents, he's talking to the kids, and they, you know, he can see the relief just in their eyes, listening, like, hey, we can do this. He says that's just, you know, the greatest feeling ever. He always takes like an hour after the camp ends and just kind of reflects and is amazed at, you know, what they've been able to do. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, you know, Sam Full's one of those guys, probably a success in anything he attempted and whatever he attempts after baseball. And for you and I, people like you and I, it's like he's one of the guys that makes it, like when you write a story like that and you get to tell his story, it makes you feel good, you know, all over, because his story's so great and the guy is so good. But anyway, back on the field, the A's had some news, not good news. Sean Doolittle is got a rotator cuff tear, the closer, and is going to try to avoid surgery, but doubtful for opening day. I'm going to ask you first, any idea when Sean can be back, first? And second, how does Bob Melvin line up his bullpen now without Sean Doolittle?
Yeah, they're really kind of taking it day by day. I know a lot of fans are eager to know, well, you know, okay, well, if not opening day, then when? But they don't even have a timetable for, you know, him to start throwing again. He just received a PRP injection, it's a plasma injection, and he can't do anything for the next 3 weeks or so. And you know, it's not until those 3-4 weeks are over can they evaluate him again. And even then, you know, they hope that this injection kind of calms things down in his shoulder, helps with the inflammation and the irritation. But if it doesn't, or it doesn't as much as they want it to, you know, then maybe they have him rest even more, or they look at other options. So they're not about to, you know, get in front of this and say, well, you know, hopefully we'll have him back at the end of April or sometime in May. They just don't know, because they don't know how his shoulder is going to react to the treatment. Now, the doctors right now are really encouraged, you know, that they believe he will not need surgery, which is good news. They believe it's just a slight tear. Because when you hear about, you know, those shoulder tears, well, you're thinking, well, those can sometimes be career-threatening. But this is just the slightest of tears. And, you know, right now they're just more so worried about the inflammation and the irritation in it. And they actually believe he was pitching with it a lot of last season. So they're hopeful that if, you know, they can get it down a little bit, he'll be able to pitch, you know, with it and without pain. But until that time, knowing they'll be without him come opening day, you know, they still do have several options in their bullpen to close. They have Tyler Clippard. They have Eric O'Flaherty. They have Ryan Cook. And all three of those guys, you know, have closer material. Tyler Clippard, of course, has even done it with the Nationals. Ryan Cook's done it for a little bit. And Eric O'Flaherty, you know, he's kind of always been seen as that's kind of been the next step for him. You know, he's a tremendous setup guy. But, you know, I know the organization's always looked at him as a potential closer, too. So I don't think they're lacking in arms to replace Doolittle at closer. And certainly they have the bullpen depth to kind of withstand this. It's still a tremendous loss. You know, you look at what he did last year, making the All-Star team for the first time. You know, his strikeout ratio is just insane, and just how dominant he was for them at times. But, you know, they're just encouraged that it's nothing more serious, at least not at the moment.
And Jane, let me ask you, I guess in the bigger picture of first base, second base, left field, catcher, is Ben Zobrist going to play a lot of different positions? I guess what I'm asking, who's going to play second and who's going to play left? How do you think those at-bats will break down?
As it looks right now, you kind of see Zobrist as the everyday guy at second. And I think
does that mean Sogard will be a guy off the bench?
Yes, which is, you know, it's going to be different for him. I mean, he kind of got used to playing every day, but this was the role that I think they envisioned for Sogard, you know, when he first came up. And, you know, as it happened, he kind of ended up playing every day. And he's terrific defensively, and that's why he is a great option off the bench. But when you get a Ben Zobrist, who gives you a little bit more on offense, you know, you're going to put him in there every day. And when you already have Craig Gentry and Sam Fold to kind of share time in left field, you know, you want to keep Zobrist at second. Now, he is a guy that can play left, and, you know, the offseason's not over. The A's could go out and get themselves another second baseman. They've been linked to a few of the Cuban guys that they could end up getting. And if that does happen, then, yeah, Zobrist would play in left field more. But as the roster stands right now, I think they do see him as their everyday second baseman with Sogard on the bench. Or, you know, he does have an option left, and he is the type of guy where he needs his at-bats. He needs his consistent at-bats to stay fresh. And it wouldn't surprise me if they maybe started him at AAA at the start of the season. And they have other options. They have Andy Perino. They have Tyler Ladendorf, who could maybe fill that backup role. Now, granted, you know, you might want to stick with Sogard considering what he's, you know, done for you over the past 2 years, but there is something to staying, you know, fresh and up to date with at bats, and so that is something that wouldn't surprise me if that did happen.
At the end of the day, after all the moves that Billy Bean made, do you think he's pretty pleased, and do you think he thinks
this is a GM that goes into every season believing that his team will contend. You know, he doesn't just rebuild with the thinking of, okay, well, we're going to be good in 2 or 3 years. He doesn't see the point of that. You know, why are you playing if you're not competing every single year? And that's why he's kind of been doing this rebuild on the fly. You know, he's, at first, I think everyone was wondering, well, what the heck is he doing? And now that you see everything he's done, I think it's 9 trades total, involving something like 27 players. You know, you put the pieces back together and you look at this club and you're like, wow, you know what? They've always had the rotation to contend. Their lineup's lengthened out, and you look at the roster and you think, you know, why not? You know, why can't they contend? And I think he feels the same way.
That's great. Okay, I appreciate it, Jane, and we'll talk to you in a week or two.
All right, sounds good.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.